Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the CAM Podcast is brought to you by O'Neill's Classic Archery. And with us today, fresh off his first ever pro win as an ASA senior pro, Richard Owens. Richard, thanks for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Has that sunk in yet? ASA pro win.
It's starting to. I was still in shock for about a week. It just didn't seem real. And I always thought I would know what I felt. It felt like a win.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like that. So it wasn't what I thought. But I'm excited, stoked. It's starting to sink in that I won. So.
Well, I went back, Richard, and to look at your records, and according to the ASA records, I mean, you started ASA in 2004. Maybe you did it before that, but that's as far back as their records go.
I couldn't remember if it was 3 or 4. 04, I started. My very first one was Oak Ridge in Tennessee, which is it's probably about a couple hours from my house. So,
yeah.
And I went to that one just – looked it up and went by myself and showed up. And you talking about intimidated. When I got out there to the practice bag and there's 500 people lined up there, I almost went back to the truck and got back in it and left because I was so scared to death. But after I shot that one, I was hooked. And
That's cool. And I want to talk about that for sure while we're on the subject, because one of the things I hear from people is like, oh, I don't want to go to that thing. You know, there's all these pros there. That's intimidating. But you obviously overcame it. You didn't let that get to you.
Yeah, it was really nerve wracking at the beginning. But once you get to the range with and you get in a group, which you guys, you knew, I mean, nobody you knew, I didn't know anybody in the group.
Yeah.
But everybody was super nice. It's a funny story. I showed up there with, back then, everybody was shooting vanes. Well, I showed up at 5-inch feathers, helical twist feathers, and I'll never forget it. Our first target was a Russian boar, some kind of boar animal. And when it's my turn to shoot, my pin was all over that target, and somehow I 12'd it the first target. And they're like, "Oh man, this guy's a ringer!" And of course, that fell off real fast. I just got lucky on that one, but I'll never forget that. But the guys were super nice, and they talked to me the whole way, and explained to me about, you know, shooting the vanes. Where I come from the country. I mean, we're out here in a rural area. And at that time, all of our friends and stuff were shooting feathers. Nobody shot vanes.
I think I was shooting feathers too then.
Yeah. So I felt like an idiot there when you see everybody else is shooting vanes kind of deal. But of course, I came home and went to vanes as fast as possible. So
so that was Open Sea you started out at.
Yeah.
Open Sea. Yep. How about that?
Yeah, I shot that. I actually shot each class coming up. I won out of each. I wouldn't move up until I won out of the class.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I won out of C and B and then A and then went to semi-pro. Didn't win out of semi-pro, but I went to known pro.
I had you at 50 for 5 years. And then the one thing I definitely wanted to ask you about was I saw Known Pro 2019. I'm guessing you would have been 49 years old.
Yep.
That had to be a rough class.
Actually went out of, I think I had to go to Known Pro, the reason I went, and went out of Known 50. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to make the jump. And I was really intimidated by the, you know, you got Jesse Broadwater and all those guys shooting. And I don't even consider myself in that class, but it was actually a fun class. I had a good time after the first couple of tournaments. You sort of feel like you belong a little bit, you know, kind of deal. Shot some decent scores, won a little money there, but not, nothing. Didn't make top five or anything, but it was a good stepping stone when I went to senior pro.
Yeah.
Because I sort of know, you know, when you move into a pro class, you know, you sort of have an intimidation, but I'd have to say the senior pro class is by far my favorite class of any class I've shot.
So you went from known to senior pro, which is unknown. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm guessing at the time they didn't have senior known pro. You would have had the amateur class. Is that why you went to senior pro? Because it was a pro. It was the only pro class for seniors.
Yeah, at that time, and then I traveled with my buddies Tony Tazza and Joe Pitt. And Joe Pitt. Let me back up a little bit. Me and Joe Pitt met in, if my first year was 2004, we met in 2005 in Oak Ridge. We got grouped together, and that's where we met.
How about that?
And from then on, we become friends, and over the years, just got closer and closer and closer. And then he's just like a brother to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And so... He was already in the senior pro class. He's a couple years older than me. Thank goodness.
I know is when if I see one of you, I usually see both of you.
Oh yeah, we travel together. I live in a pretty good location as far as all the ASAs, and he flies to most of them. So I usually pick him up on an airport on the way.
Gotcha.
And then Tony and Brian Plesky, we usually room together. You know, if we do a house or hotel, whatever, but we travel. Yeah. We sort of travel together. But me and Joe's, we've been together a long time. I'd like to say he's just like a brother to me.
Yeah.
But we met that long ago, and that's how you make, I mean, that's a good example of how you make a friend for life.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't know each other, just showed up, and we was on the same group, and we just clicked.
I hear lots of stories about that from ASA. So yeah, that's a good one to have.
Yeah.
So now they have senior known pro, but mm-hmm. you're sticking with that unknown game.
Yeah. I really enjoy the known. The known, it's a different hard task of shooting. You basically have to make a good shot. But it takes away the unknown. You don't have to judge all the time.
And right.
I don't have the targets. I have like six targets that I have at my house. So I wouldn't say I was always going to stay in unknown, but for right now, I'm going to stay in unknown. I enjoy it. And like I say, the class, as far as the guys in class, it's by far my funnest. I enjoy everybody around it.
That's a pretty good group. It's funny. The tension level there, once you get to the senior pro range, drops dramatically when you're walking between the ranges.
When I came from known pro, it was like night and day difference in the way everybody acts. You know, not to say there's not good people in known pro.
No, it's just different.
They approach it different than what the senior guys do. You know, we have a lot of fun out there.
People like Joe and you and Tony and Keith Allstrom and Blake and those guys, if you're going to be serious, you're going to lose.
I shot with Blake on my first day down there last weekend.
Yes.
In the rain and stuff, and I was shooting Blake. And anytime you shoot with Blake Berger, you're going to have fun no matter how good you're shooting or how bad you're going to have fun. So I enjoy shooting with Blake.
He's definitely a fun guy. Yeah. So going back to Russell County. Mm-hmm. So I forget, were you leading after day one as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I was eight up, and I think the closest was, there was a one up. That was the closest to me.
Okay, so let's talk about that wire to wire. So after day one, how are you feeling? You know, did that add extra nerves or not a problem?
The day was so bad with the conditions and everything, and I really wasn't expecting like I said before, I was practicing at home for a couple weeks before and just not really shooting that good. I mean, I was shooting okay, but either I was shooting okay and my judging was off, or my judging was good and I was not shooting good.
Yeah.
I went down there with no expectations and was sort of dreading when we saw the weather report. And because I don't do good in usually bad weather, I don't shoot good in. And so, and Joe told me something the day before I picked him up on Thursday, and we was talking about the weather and stuff. He said, look, he's like, probably half the class is already defeated because they just don't want to fool with the weather.
Yeah.
And so I took it in mind. I was like, yeah, you know, he's probably right. You know, a lot of guys don't like it and they just don't do good in it, which I thought I was one of those. But normally last year I had a problem on my first target every tournament. For some reason, I'd shoot a 5 or an 8. Most of the time it was a 5. First target all last year. Well, this year I started off in Foley. I shot an 8 on the first target. So this, I was like, please just shoot a 10 on the first target. Well, I 12 my first target. And all I was right. Like, oh, okay. You know, at least I got some cushion when this rain hits, because it hit about the third target in.
Yeah.
At least I got a little cushion in that. But I just sort of kept it. I shot the 12, and then like 3 targets in, I shot an 8. And it was purely my fault. I was just aiming in the wrong place. And shot the 8, and I thought, okay, well, I'm even. Well, then we turned the corner, and the rain hit. And I picked up. After about the 5th target, I kept noticing I was shooting. I always shoot uppers. And I was aiming for them, but I kept hitting like around the lower or hitting like the bottom of the 10. And I was like, okay. Normally, I'm stubborn and I won't change.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something out of the blue here. So I told Blake and them, I was like, okay, scratch, because I tell them before I start, I'm shooting all uppers unless I tell you.
Yep.
And I was like, scratch that. I said, I'm shooting lowers unless I tell you. And so I hit a couple and we kept rolling. I hit probably one of the best days I've ever had of hitting, sort of like Dan McCarthy. I never think I can do that, but he always hits like that much right around the 12, all the way around it.
Yeah.
And that day I stayed right there. I don't think I touched a 10 line the rest of the day.
Really?
Inside or out. So I stayed inside of that circle there, and it just kept plugging along. And next thing I know, we were probably 12 targets in, and Tony was in a group beside me. And, you know, we're sort of, you know, when we're holding umbrellas and kind of thing, I looked over at him and he sort of did like, how you doing? And I was like, man, I'm okay. And at that time I was like 2 up, and I was 2 up. And, he did all right like that. And I said, where are you at? And he said, well, I just shot my first 12. I said, where'd that put you? And he said, I'm 4 down. And I'm like, oh, and so I consider Tony like one of the top dogs in their class.
For
so
sure. Like,
I'm pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And so we rolled on through there, and I picked up a few more. And then at the end, Tony came over and he said, where'd you end up? And I said, I am at 8. And he's like, you're miles ahead of everybody. He said, I'm sure. But I had in my mind that probably Hawkins or somebody shot a 10 or 12 up, because they always do. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
And so when the score got added up, I was at 8. And then I knew then I'd shot a pretty good score. So then I didn't really get nervous afterwards. I've never just like led one of these, you know, like that.
Right.
So I was a little bit nervous on Saturday morning of how to approach it. What, you know, didn't want to go crazy, but I didn't want to just shoot safe all weekend either.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
Hey, but
so then how did that day go Saturday? Obviously it went well, but.
Yeah, I started out pretty good. I shot first 2 targets, I shot 10s on, really not going for anything, just shooting 10, try to get under my feet. Third target, I 12, which was a long deer target. I think he was like, he was probably between 48 and 50. And I 12'd him. I went back to my upper game because I figured the weather was, you know, I could go back to that.
Yeah.
And so I got to 10 pretty quick. And I thought, well, I'm just going to keep plugging along, not doing anything crazy. And ended up shooting a couple 8s, just a couple of stupid shots. One of them was yardage, but the other one was just stupid shot. And actually, one of your camera guys come and filmed us shooting a turkey behind us, our whole group. And it was the worst shot I shot all weekend, almost 14 that turkey. And it wasn't because he was behind me. I just made a stupid shot. And I'm like, I hope they don't show that on TV.
Sorry to mention it. That will be in the rewind.
Oh, my God. It was the worst shot I made all weekend. Almost 14 the target, the turkey. And I was like, oh, my God. And but then I just, And you know, with the weather, you guys didn't do the, didn't have the scoreboards.
Right.
So yeah. I had made up my mind. It probably helped me and then it hurt me some. On Thursday or on Friday, you know, I could care less about the scores. I didn't know where anybody's at. And then on Saturday, I made up my mind. I'm like, I didn't know if y'all was bringing them out or not. So I was like, well, I'm gonna ignore everything. I don't even want to know what score. I'm just gonna shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got about halfway through the course and I sort of had a feeling that I'd shot like 2 8s and I dropped back to like six up. And I had a feeling that they were catching me. And I just knew Tony or Jeff or somebody was going to shoot like a 10 or 12 up, you know.
Right.
And I just had that feeling the whole time, but I never asked the score. And with about, I was shooting with Digger and of course, Destiny, you know, keeps the score. I never asked her all day, and we got about 6 targets to go. And I actually just overheard her talking to him and said something about Hopkins was shooting good. So I'm like, okay, I probably need to know how good Hopkins is shooting. So I was like, where's Hopkins at? And he said he's like 6 up. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's caught me. And I was like, 6 up for today or the weekend? And he said, no, for today. So I knew he was 10 down the day before. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm still good.
Yeah, yeah.
And Digger was shooting good. He'd hit a few 12s. And I thought Digger had actually, because I heard her say something about you're at 3. So I had in my mind that Digger was at 3. And at that time, I would have been 4 up. So I thought Digger had caught me. And I'm like, you're at 3, ain't you? And he's like, yeah. He said, I'm still 3 down. And he said, I was like, oh, so I had it in my mind. So up to there, I sort of had a feeling that they were catching me.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking back, I wished I would have known because I think I would have shot a lot more relaxed and made better shots through there.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah.
So after I knew that on the final, then we turned the corner, we had 5 targets to go. I'm like, okay, I've got some room here. I'm going to try. I said, at the time I was 4 up and I said, I want to try to get back to 8 up. And so I said, I need 2 12s at his last 5. And I actually hit 3.
Okay.
And got to 10. But I think I could have shot better if I would have known.
Yeah.
They weren't close enough. I think I sort of
panicked, we were wondering, I mean, I don't know if you saw it would have been D range was like completely underwater when you got down to the end. That's where Open Pro was the second day.
I saw some pictures.
So we were like, can we get out there? And then our golf cart was dead. So we actually had no way to get the boards out there.
I got you. That was no problem. I mean, I say, I think it would have helped me, but in another way, I think it's good. I didn't know because, you know, kind of deal. So I don't know.
Going back to Friday, like you said, that rain was just nonstop, miserable, awful. And I was walking down and Joe Pitt actually came out and he said, hey man, how you doing? I was like, oh man, this is horrible. He said, PJ, we're making memories here today. He said, in 10 years, you're going to say, do you remember that time we shot down there at Fort Benning? I said, you know what? You're right. That will give me something.
He's always positive. I'm total opposite. I'm like a realist. He goes in these things. He's like, you know, he calls me. He's like, I'm going down. I'm winning this one. Kind of deal. And I never say that. And I wished I had his confidence like he does.
Yeah.
He cracks me up.
So going into the shoot down then, I think you carried an 8-point lead into the shoot down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that feel? Was that like, you know, were you thinking, oh man, that's too much or that's not enough? What was the mindset?
I thought it was not enough. And because I know how Tony and Jeff and them shoot, so I talked to Tony. We went to lunch after we got done. And so I was like, Tony, I have no idea how I've made a couple of shoot downs and I was always behind so I could just shoot, you know, the way I wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he said, and so he gave me some good advice. He said, well, you need to make them catch you. He said, you're 8 points ahead of them. Make them do all the work. And he said, just play it target by target. And if they start catching you and you need to do something at the end, then you can do some things.
Gotcha.
And so that's what I went with. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try to shoot pretty safe, try to get good numbers. And then, see what they do.
Yeah. All you needed on the last arrow, I know you hit a 10, but was it, what, did you need a 10 or did you just need an 8? I can't remember.
No, I just needed a 2.
That's right. Yeah. You were up. Yes. Correct.
When we got there to the where they do the shoot down, I mean, that wind was howling. We went over to practice and I mean, it was blowing me all over the place. And I had those long bars and they are not good in the wind. So I was a little freaked out about that. And then they do the, you know, you do your 10-minute judging thing. And when we walked out there, I'm telling you, I walked out there to them targets and I didn't have a clue how far they were. I didn't have a gut feeling or nothing. I'm just like, I have no clue what this thing looks like. And I kept walking back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I knew the long one was at least 49 or 50. So then I started playing them back. You know, stepping off and playing them back. Okay, this one looks like this.
Yeah.
And sort of had, I just had a guess number. And I was like, I'm going to play it off the first one. And but it ended up after you guys post, you know, I listened to it later. I only missed one target. I missed one target 1 yard and missed another one. Like the first one, the mule deer, I shot him 47. I think y'all had him 45. And I was playing for the upper 12. So that's what I needed to shoot him for.
Right.
But the wind got me. It blew me way right and almost fired it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, after I fired that thing. And in the shoot downs, for some reason, I'm more calm there than I am on the range.
Really?
I don't really get nerved up on the shoot downs for some reason. And, but after I shot that, and Jeff 12, of course, he 12 the first, yep. His first one right beside him. And so I'm like, okay, there's a 4-point swing. And I tried not to even think about it. I was like, it's just the wind. Just let it go. It's the wind. And then went over to the, when we changed over, I went to the javelina and I almost 12'd it. I had the number. I shot it 37 and shot right underneath it. And Jeff aided the long one, which helped me.
Yep.
Because that, you know, offset it a little bit. And then I knew what I was going to shoot the Impala I thought was probably 49. And so I had in my mind, okay, I'm going to shoot 49 and hold in the center and call the lower and let it fall if it's a little further. But after he shot low, I'm like, I ain't playing with this. So I dialed 51 and held at the bottom of it. And actually I held about that far over to the left of the 12 because of the wind and no almost kidding. 12 just hit right over top of it. And
then yeah.
Playing really for a 10. And then almost 12 the Russian boar, almost 12'd him, was a good shot. And then we got to the last target. And before we even started, I told Joe, I said, I'm not even looking at the scoreboard. I can't do all that math and stuff. I said, you watch the scoreboard, you tell me what to shoot at, and I'll shoot it. I said, if you tell me to shoot a 14, I'm shooting at a 14, you know, kind of deal. And he's like, all right, I got you. And I never looked at the scoreboard. I didn't know where, I knew Jeff was within 4 because Mike, you know, does his little commentating. And,
yeah.
And on the last target, I was waiting on the wind, and Jeff went ahead and shot, and Joe, and I was playing, I was going to try to shoot the 12 on it because I thought I needed it. And Joe told me, he's like, Jeff shot an 8. He said, shoot me a center 10. So I just pulled it in the center 10 and fired it. And I still had in my mind when we went to the last target that I was going to need a 10 or maybe even a 12 because I wasn't keeping up with the scores, and I thought Jeff was close.
Right.
And then after, you know, Digger got the worst of it. I felt sorry for Digger. I mean, he got the absolute worst of the win. And then Jeff shot I knew he was going for 14.
Yep.
When he missed it, I'm like, okay, that's some breathing room. But I still thought, okay, I still got to shoot a 10. And when Mike said, all you need is 2 points, that's when it sunk in. I mean, the blood went out of my whole body when he's like, you need 2 points. And I was like, then I thought I can win this thing right here.
Just got to hit the target.
I kept waiting all weekend, every day for the shoe to fall. And I shoot a 5 or something. I was waiting on that final thing. And when he said 2 points, I actually looked at him. He said it twice because I'm like, I couldn't believe he said 2 points.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I won this thing. And then the nerves sort of started kicking in. And when I got to full draw, the first thing went through my mind was, don't punch his trigger and don't blank his target. You know, I mean, you got this one. And so I had to settle down just a little bit, and I held out the 10 because of the wind. And I mean, I was shooting for that black dot in the center of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost hit it. So.
Oh man.
And I could have just hit the ground, and I mean, all the pressure and stuff just after it was over, I couldn't. I mean, it was just like I was exhausted. I couldn't believe it.
Well, it was cool because, you know, a lot of times we don't see much reaction from archers, but we got a reaction from you. Gave the fist pump.
Yeah. I could have ran all over that place. I was excited.
But then once I look back, I was like, hey, I mean, he's been doing this for 20 years and gets his first pro win. Yeah, that's got to be like, all right.
Yeah. I always dreamed about winning one, but I'm a realist, and I always thought I'll never do it.
Yeah.
I just didn't think I could ever get it done because of, you know, you got Tony in there and Jeff and Tim Gillingham was in there, and he's always right up there.
Yeah.
So I was always thinking I was shooting for third to fifth place. You know, that's a good weekend for me, you know, kind of deal.
Right.
I almost got Tim and Foley in 21. We come off a range 1 point. I caught him on the second day I shot. He come off at 21. I was 20 up.
I wrote that one down that you had a second in Foley in 21.
Yeah. I almost got him, and I messed myself up because that's my first shoot down. I should have shot at the 14 on the close target, and I didn't. And that's what got me. If I would have shot that, then we'd have went into the last target 1 point apart.
Yeah.
And I 14'd it, but I mean, he had a 5 point lead. But it'd been a lot different if I'd have shot that one. So learning experience, you know, when to go for him.
So you've been shooting ASA all this time. Do you shoot other, like, do you shoot the indoor stuff or IBO or any of that?
I used to shoot some indoor. We had just a local range. My dad's a full-time pastor, and we had a couple buildings next to the church, and we just built us indoor range when I was a kid growing up. And we'd have shoots in there on Thursday nights, and it was a lot of fun, and we went to a couple local indoor stuff, but I've really not done any. I know I need to because everybody says it helps you with your shot and all that kind of thing.
Right.
I did start shooting some IBO probably 4 years ago. I went to Pipestem, West Virginia, because it's about 3 hours from me. So
gotcha.
I went there, and I've been doing that one. I went to the Pipestem in the world's last 2 years, 2 or 3 years. So
gotcha. I'm
a little bit in the IBO, not much.
ASA is your main thing. Oh, yeah. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always shoot. I'll dabble around IBO a little bit. But ASA is my, that's what I like to shoot.
And so I wanted to mention, cause, this is not you're not a full-time archer.
No.
What's your job? I saw the title in there, and I didn't really understand what it was.
I work for Lincoln Memorial University. They're in Harrogate, Tennessee, and I'm the director of campus safety and facilities coordination.
Gotcha.
So I handle like the safety training and stuff.
Yeah. And I'm sure that keeps you busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really good though. I got time, you know, I build up time to take off for these shoots and stuff. And this is my hobby. I hunt, of course, but over the last few years, I don't take a lot of days to hunt. And so I save them all for the shooting. And if I had to choose between the two, I would shoot tournaments. I enjoy that
right. So practice, do you get to shoot every day, or do you not, that's not how you practice?
I try to shoot some every day. It doesn't always work out that way, depending on the weather and if I'm busy, but I try to shoot somewhere else. And sometimes I'll shoot 4 or 5 days straight, you know, and I'll shoot a couple hours at a time.
Yeah.
I've only got six targets, so I don't always put them out. I just mostly shoot a, you know, practice bag target until I usually get them out a couple of weeks before the shoot.
Gotcha.
And, which I try to judge. I picked up a tip that Jack Wallace did a couple of years ago. He's talking about, I bought me some cones. And so I marked them every 5 yards. And so I put them out while I'm practicing. And then as I'm walking to and from the target, you know, I'm sort of getting that in my eye. And it's helped a lot.
How about that?
You know, yeah. What they look like at certain distances and things.
Yeah. So let's talk about your setup a second. Which bow are you shooting? Which Hoyt?
I'm shooting the 36 Stratus.
Okay.
With the SVX cams. This is my first year with Hoyt.
Okay.
All new bow. Yeah. Yeah. I shot for Matthews. I've shot for Matthews a long time. In 2014, I was shooting through a local shop, East End Archery. George Brock, give him a shout out.
Sure.
I was shooting for him, and he actually picked up a dealership with Hoyt. And so he knew I always wanted to shoot a Hoyt in it. And so he called me one day and was like, you know, you still want to shoot a Hoyt? And I said, yeah. He said, come over here and get you one. And so I shot them 2014 and 15, I think, and then went back to Matthews from 16 until this year.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
I saw Steve Anderson, man. He came running out on the field there when you won.
Hanging out with Tony and Joe, of course, they're Hoyt guys. And, you know, sometimes I'm hanging out with them and we go by their booth and stuff. So I sort of knew Steve a little bit through them, but not like really, you know, close. And then I had an opportunity. I talked to Steve this year and we talked before season and he offered me an opportunity and I jumped on it because it's always been my dream. I've always loved the Hoyt bows, the way they I love the grips, the shoot through risers. And I've always shot them really good. And so I jumped at the chance and I'm just happy it took a little pressure off of me because when you go to a new company, you want to perform. And almost made the shoot down in Foley. I was tied for fifth, but got beat on 12 count.
Oh, no kidding.
So I would have almost made it in the first shoot, which would have been awesome, you know.
Yeah.
To start out with. And then, but then to get the win, it takes a little pressure off. You know, I want to win more this year, but it takes a little pressure off. You know, you got to win every time. So
what's the, what arrows are you shooting?
Go Tip is my longest sponsor. I started in 2007.
Okay. Tim
put me on in 2007. I've shot them ever since. I shoot the X Cutter. Okay. With flex vanes four. And then I shoot 120 grain point.
Okay.
And then I shoot the mini HD go tip knocks on it, the pin knocks.
What kind of speed are you able to get? Are you right there at the max?
295.
You're right there. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm shooting 295 on 69 pounds, holding weights between 19 and 20, somewhere.
Gotcha.
Like 19 and a half.
Okay. Now, the thing I wanted to talk to you most about are the big bars. And Joe Pitt, if I don't see you guys, I know where you are because I see those bows.
Yeah, we've always been, me and him both, we're tinkers. We like Tim Gillingham, awesome to us. We love when Tim Gillingham tries something because that gives us something to do. So last year, Joe tried them first and he loved them. And so I was sort of like, hey, I don't know, you know, kind of deal. And he's like, you need to try them. You need to try them. Well, I finally borrowed I only had one 30-inch bar. So I'm like, and the longest thing I had was I bought some extensions, like some 3-inch extensions for my 12. So the most I could get was 15.
Right.
And so I ended up borrowing a bar off my brother and George Brock. Runs an archery shop. He hadn't used one. And I said, let me borrow it. I just want to try it. So I took them home and I didn't put them on the day I got them. And I was out shooting the next day and wasn't shooting good. It was all, you know, sort of all aim all over the place. And I thought, I'm going to try. I'm just going to try them. Well, I throwed them on there and I was shooting at 20. I went to 20. I pulled back at 20 yards and I'm used to my pin just like this all the time.
Yeah.
When I put them on there, that pin went boom. And it never moved out of the spot. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I tweaked them just a little bit, you know, out and they're up and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the more I did it, the better it got. And I mean, I can hold it at 20 yards. I can hold it an arrow hold. you know, the pen just barely moves, you know, and Tim's talked about that, you know, it really slows down your motion.
Yeah.
Well, at first it slowed it down so much that it freaked me out that I was used to shooting on the move, you know.
Yeah.
And it really messed with my shot for a while. And then I went to 50 yards. I went back to 50 yards, see what to do at 50. And 50, I was holding them inside of a half inch dot. You know, it wouldn't leave it. And I'm like, sold, I'm done. So I shot them halfway through the year last year, the rest of the year. And my goal was to go away from them this year with this Hoyt, because the negative to them is, one is the wind. They don't like the wind. And number two is they are aggravating trying to shoot around people. Like,
yes,
bags and stuff. People's always, I'm bumping them or they're bumping me. And it's embarrassing to me. So I'm like, I shot them in Foley just because I run out of time trying something else. And I'm like, I finally slapped them on 2 days before I left. I'm like, okay, I'm going to shoot what I know to shoot. And, but I told them after Foley, I told Tony and Joy, I'm taking them bars off. They're coming off. And I tried for 3 weeks to shoot something else and
didn't work.
I'm like, there ain't nothing that aims like them.
Do you have, is it 330s? Is that what you have?
330s.
One out front, two out back.
Yep. And I tried last year, I shot them just off the Atlas Shrewd V-bar mount, like I've got them now. And I tried, but another buddy of mine, Alan Russell, he made me one of those crossbars at Tim out of aluminum.
Yep.
And I actually shot it at the Classic. I actually shot it on the bow at the Classic. And it works okay. It gives it more weight than what I like.
Right.
So I went back to just the V-bar. Now, Joe bought 224s earlier in the year, and he tried them. He shot them at Foley, and he didn't really like them. So I got them yesterday. He sent them to me yesterday. And I'm going to try the 24s to see if, you know, if they aim as good. But
you just won your first tournament with that setup, and you're talking about changing.
that's what everybody tells me. I do that all the time. Well, I'll come back from a good shoot and break the bow down and try something different. You know, I need to stop doing that. But I'm going to try. And what people ask me all the time about them, and what I tell them is, if you don't want to know how bad your aim is, don't try them.
Really?
Because if you don't want to commit to them, I mean, it will absolutely show up. I mean, when you see that pin from doing this to pretty much doing this and just barely doing that, you can't get nothing out of it. So I told Joe, we need, at first last year, you know, we're trying to get everybody trying. You need to try. I told Joe, quit telling everybody that.
We
don't need them trying.
No.
Some people are trying them and don't like them. I understand that. You know, it ain't for everybody. But I mean, it makes the bow lighter because it puts all the weight like further away.
All right.
Your back weight is like, I don't shoot a lot of weight anyway.
Yeah.
And it puts the weight further from the bow, so the bow feels really light in your hands.
You don't shoot indoor, but do you think you would have the room to shoot indoor with that?
Probably not. Probably not. It's real hard to shoot the bags.
Yeah.
You know, and you're really not really that tight at the bags, and it's aggravating. What we usually do is me and Joe shoot side by side, and I'll let him shoot one, and I'll stand back and then I'll step up and shoot, and he's standing back, you know, kind of deal. So
yeah, because indoor,
it's really
you're packed pretty tight, and I wondered that when I saw you guys shoot. I was like, man, would that work indoor?
I think you would have to go to something like Tim's got, the crossbar where you run them straight back.
Yeah, they don't angle.
That would probably help you a little bit. And Paige, you know, Paige is shooting them too.
Yep.
She's not shooting the real long ones, but she shoots pretty long bars on the with that cross. I call it cross memory. I don't know what it is.
How about that? Well, I was like, I want to get Richard on here because I want to ask him about that, because I haven't played with that yet, but I've heard people talking about it, Tim, you know, different guys. And I was like,
in our class, it's me and Joe, and Blake Berger shoots them now. We could talk him into shooting them, and he's the same way. He swears by them too. So
yeah.
it fits some people, and I don't know how to describe it. But they are aggravating, I'll tell you up front. If you out on the range, it's not bad at all. I mean, you're not every now and then you'll bump in, you know, going to your steak or something. But yeah, on range, it's fine. But man, warming up is terrible
with people around.
Yeah.
Well, what sight are you shooting?
I shoot the XL sight with the Shrewd Scope, the Optum 40.
Yep.
With a six power lens.
Six. And,
Yeah, and I use a one and A plus clarifier.
Gotcha.
Stabilizer. Go ahead.
No, stay. Which ones are you shooting?
Stabilizer. I shoot Bee Stingers.
Yeah.
Bee Stinger stabilizer.
Gotcha. Premier Plus. I'm guessing probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And release. Are you a hinge or a thumb button?
That's another running joke. I carry seven releases in my bag all the time. And I've been known to change mid stride. You know, shoot one target and then shoot the other. But this year, I'm trying to do better at that. I shoot them both, and sometimes I'm shooting the hands better than I pretty much go with whatever I'm feeling. If I get a feel for one, I start shooting it. But I shot the goat all weekend at Russell County.
Set as a thumb button. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never actually, Tony's asked me that before if I ever tried it as a hinge, but I've never tried it as a hinge.
For me personally, I found the geometry of it as a hinge is a little bit not, it functions great as a thumb button, but I just found it was a little off balanced as a hinge.
Yeah. I don't like a real thick, handle.
Right.
I like it thin. I shoot the stand hinges better than any because they're not as thick.
Yeah.
Kind of, but I still shoot true ball. I've got a HBC and Fulcrum. Fulcrum's usually the one I shoot if I'm shooting a hinge.
Gotcha.
The goat right now, I'm not changing unless something drastic. I lose my shot. Yeah. Because it was really good down there.
Right.
I had it set just a little bit too slow for firing. I struggled with that, and I think I fixed that now. I sped it up when I got home. But other than that, shot good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get like Tony. Tony shoots. He shot the same release for 20 years.
Forever.
And
I think the one he actually shoots, they don't even make anymore.
Nope.
Because it's so old. the Zenith. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's back to that. He was shooting a Fulcrum the last couple of years. He went back to his Zenith, so we're all in trouble this year.
So now, being that you have this full-time occupation on the side mm-hmm. with the archery, I got to imagine there's like special that just gives special weight to it when you finally win one that, you know, this isn't something that this is your whole life. This is the only thing you're doing. You got a job, you know, doing all that. And then to win this on top, I got to imagine that's extra special to add that to it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of family and friends around here that keep up with me because in my area, I'm really the only one that really shoots all the ASAs kind of thing. I mean, I got some buddies that shoot, they'll shoot like one or two a year kind of deal. But, I'm pretty close to London. I'm about an hour and 15 minutes from London. So
you're in Virginia?
I live in Virginia.
Yeah.
Actually, I live right on the last town in Virginia. It's right on the Tennessee, Kentucky, all of it borders at Cumberland Gap.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So I live right on the tip of it.
Yeah.
And small town, I think popular. I had to look this up. I didn't even know. It's like 2,400, you know.
No kidding. So
yeah, it's really small. Just a good country place, good place to live.
So was everybody watching back home?
Yeah. I put the word out, and I've actually, this past fall, the church I go to, they've got a Christian school, and they asked me to start like an archery class. So
gotcha.
I was doing it all fall. And so I sent them a link to you guys. And so they put it out to all the kids there. So all the people watching kind of deal. So yeah, it was a pretty big deal for a small area.
So what was that like then? You come back from the tournament and your first day back at work, what was that like? Did everybody know?
Yeah, Actually, my office is, I don't, my office is off campus. I mean, campus is within a half a mile of me, but I live, I'm working off campus. So I don't really see everybody, you know, all the time. So the right. ones I seen, you know, everybody knew it. They're congratulating. My phone was blowing up all weekend, you know, with texts and calls and stuff. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So we talked to Cassidy Cox the other day, and I asked her the same thing. For you now, getting that taste of that first win, does that like light a fire for you? Like, oh man, I want to do this again. Or is it more like I got over the hump? That's what I needed to do.
A little bit of both, because I really didn't think I was ever going to do it. I just didn't think in my mind I was ever going to do it. But now that I've done it, it gave me some confidence that I don't have to basically shoot scared anymore because I've done it. You know, I've won one. Right. If I need to take some chances, I'm going to go for it. Yeah, my goal is to make the top five every tournament, you know, make the shoot down every tournament. It's number one goal.
Yeah.
But just making a shoot down ain't, you know, it's not the goal, the ultimate goal. Now I want to win again.
Yeah.
So I think I'll even shoot harder in the shoot downs to where give myself a chance to go for some stuff where before I would shoot like, you know, just don't lose any money, stay in your position, you know,
yeah.
kind of deal. But now I think I'll take some chances.
So here, the last couple of years, you started in senior pro in 2020. Do you think like from now to then that your judging's been getting better or your shooting or both? What is like brought you to this point?
I've always had a pretty good shot. When I shot the known, I shot some pretty good scores and, you know, had bad days, but most days yeah. I shot pretty good score. I wouldn't shoot the Kyle Douglas scores at 40, 50 up, you know, kind of deal. But I feel like I've got a pretty good shot. My judging where I spent those many years shooting known, I wasn't judging anything. So it took me all of 2020 to really get back on my feet. As far as learning how to judge, and then
gotcha.
And hanging out with Tony for the past few years, I picked up a lot of stuff from Tony. He got me shooting the upper game. I never shot the upper game before, and so he got me over on that. And he gives me little nuggets here and there. He says he's going to cut me off when I get close to him. So, but I pick up little things of what he does and watch him and. Just learn some stuff about the yardage. This year, one new thing I started this year, I think is really helping me is I watched the thing with Levi did about he picks like three numbers.
Yeah.
And I actually had started that before he had the video because I'd sort of thought about that this offseason. Usually I walk up to the target and I try to judge it to the exact yard, what it is. And then that's what I would shoot it for. Well, I picked this up from Tony last year that Tony usually gets like two numbers and he plays off that how he's shooting that day, whether he needs to pick the lower or upper. So this off season, I've been trying to do that. I try to, when I walk up to the stake, I try to get a gut feeling right off the bat, you know, just whatever pops in my head.
Yeah.
And then I'm more of a ground judger.
Okay.
So then I'll try to find my absolute, and most of the time it's 20, and then I'll just walk it back. But I try to get a high number and a low number and a medium number. And I try to play off of that. You know,
gotcha.
I think my high number is 43 and the lowest it could be is 41, 40 or maybe 40. Then I try to play, okay, which side of that do I think it's more on? And most of the time I pick my middle number.
Yeah.
I've been picking my middle number, but down in Russell County with the rain, I was staying with my high number the whole time and letting it drop because yeah. I knew if I picked any lower number, it was going to come out. So I just stayed with my high number all week. I think that has really helped if you can, people that want to learn how to judge is try to get you at least two numbers.
Yeah.
Get you like a window.
Right.
On what you want to shoot. And that's helped me a bunch this year.
Yes. Because if you walk up there and try to get that number exact, yeah. You might get it, but you might be off a good yeah. bit too.
Yeah. And I have a tendency to overjudge by a yard or 2 yards. I'm using
gotcha.
It. And that's one thing that's helped me with the upper game because I pretty much aim center 11 or just at the top of 11
yep.
and then just let it climb. and try to judge that jump is what I normally play.
Right.
And with my 2 yard hot judge, it helps me a lot if I can just go with that. And it usually keeps me up there where I need to be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes if I'm having a bad day and I'm overjudging things, well, my 2 yard hotness gets me in trouble at the top, and I'll shoot 8s or 5s at the top. So
yeah,
that's what's helped me this year getting 3 numbers, because then I'm just not picking a number and shooting that. I'm saying, okay, let's stay on the safe side. What will get me is sort of the opposite of what Dan says. Dan tries to clip the bottom of the top of the bottom one. I'm trying to clip the bottom of the top.
Of the top one. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That's what I've learned this year. And I mean, knock on wood, it's going pretty good so far.
I love the strategy of the unknown game, that there's just all that you factor in to try and kind of limit. You know, you got to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to go for them, but limit the damage. That to me is just fascinating.
And
everybody does it different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard game. It's a hard game to learn, you know, to have confidence in. But once you figure something out on it, you know, you sort of have a game plan that works most of the time. So you can play off that. But honestly, I prefer the known. Because then all I got to worry about is my shot.
Right,
my
right.
shot's good. I just, you know, you walk out there and play. I know it's a lot easier, but with me not having targets, that's at a disadvantage for the guys that have targets. I understand what Tim is saying about that, because they see the targets all the time. I only see the targets on weekends. I belong to a local club, and I go on weekends, and usually about every weekend I'll go shoot at least one day.
Gotcha.
And so I'm just judging from weekend to weekend. Well, if I get some bad weather, you know, for a couple of weeks, I'm not judging.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you practice just judging?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I go there and shoot. I don't ever shoot for score. I just shoot a practice round. And I always take a piece of paper and I write down, first I write down what I judge it for, what I see it for.
Yeah.
And then I shoot it. And then after I shoot it, I range it. And then write that number down, and then I write plus or minus, you know, where I'm at.
Yeah. So, and then over time, like, would you say you're seeing those come closer together, or is there some days where it's like, oh man, my internal rangefinder is off?
Yeah, there's some days, you know, I'll have, most of the time I'm within, sometimes I'm within, you know, a half a yard or say a 2 yard window.
Yeah.
And that's okay for the game I shoot.
Right.
That's okay. But then there'll be 4 or 5 targets in there. I'll miss like 4 yards or 5 yards, you know, one way or the other. If I miss low, if I underjudge something, I'm usually pretty safe. But when I overjudge, that's when I get in trouble.
Ah, gotcha.
Because I go out the top. But it varies on days, but it helps. My struggle is, my yardage struggle is probably between 45 and 50. Because a lot of times I walk up on a target and he's 47, he looks 50 to me.
For me, what's the difference between 45 and 47, 48? I can't tell.
Yeah.
It's far.
I'm the same way. And so there, and that's what I'm trying to work on now, is that window of you can play a certain game, you can hold a low number in the center and let it fall. And call the lower, which this is first year I've called lowers in probably 2 years.
Gotcha.
And I'm playing more of that game this year instead of last year. I called uppers the whole time. Well, if he's a 50 yarder, there's no way you're going to get up there.
Yeah.
I aim a lot better on the lower 12. Oh, so it's better for me to put a big number on the lower and aim at it and call the upper.
Gotcha.
And just let it jump. But this year, I noticed last year I hit a lot of the long ones. I would shoot like a 50 yard on the lower, and I would hit it, and still call on the upper. So this year I've changed on my long stuff. I call lowers now,
gotcha.
Because I figure if I'm holding down there, I'm going to hit around it. I may luck into it a few times. So it's working pretty good. I'm more of a 50 to 51 yarder. If I don't know, if I think he's 50.
Yeah,
I'll put 51 on him. If he's 49, sometimes I'll put 51 on it just to keep me up in that. I'm really shooting for a 10.
I know one thing I wanted to ask you was like, okay, so you get your first ASA Pro Win. How old are you?
54.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like for you, when you think about archery goals, what do you have out there?
Well, I mean, this was a big one. You know, getting a win was probably the top, my top.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to get in the top three shooter of the year. You know, okay. Try to finish in that. I know my better years are behind me. So I don't have many more good years as far as, you know, your eyesight and all that. I can tell a big difference in that. But I want to do it as long as, you know, as long as Joe and Tony and them hangs in there, you know, I'm probably going to stay in the unknown as long as they're there.
Gotcha.
You know, just because I like shooting with them, we travel together and things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying I won't ever go known because there's a possibility I might. I enjoy that part of it too. So
yeah.
I don't know. Just, I mean, I'd like to win every one of them, but you know that's not going to happen. So yeah, I guess my next thing is, you know, top three shooter of the year.
Top three shooter of the year. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like to say I really appreciate Steve Anderson and Hoyt giving me an opportunity. It's always been a dream of mine to shoot their bow. He's super nice. He's first one running at me out there on the range. And
awesome guy.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity for all the sponsors that sponsor me. Threads, I didn't even mention them. Jerry Carter, I shoot his string.
Yep.
He's been super good to me. Great people.
Nice. That's got to be cool, I would imagine, to also be shooting, since they're your friends anyway, but to shoot with Joe and Tony, everybody's Hoyt. Y'all match.
Yeah, I was the oddball usually in that group because all three of them, Brian Pileski and another guy that travels with us, David Mott, he comes with Joe. He shoots a Hoyt too. So I was odd man out all the time. Of course, I took all the rib and they enjoy riding me all the time, the way I talk and bows I shoot and all this stuff. So.
In the senior class, guys ribbing each other? I don't believe
it. It's a lot of fun. I tell you it is.
All right. Well, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Richard Owens, we appreciate your time and congrats on that big win.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I want to say I appreciate all the work you guys do because y'all do all the work on the weekends we're shooting out there. Y'all do a great job with it.
Thanks, Richard.
Appreciate you.
Folks, the Competition Archery Media Podcast you can find on all the platforms, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for joining us today.